our hearts and our minds are receptive to your word. We welcome the revelation of your word this morning into the afternoon. We behold Jesus Christ the Son, even as he sees us himself, is glorified, and we are edified in Jesus' name. So Matthew 28, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority, right? What power there is, what authority, right? Given unto me in heaven and in the earth, go therefore make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you too always, even to the end of the age. Amen.
Amen.
So we said, what should be, this is quite going to be longer, what should be taught in the local church is the supernatural. Right, the supernatural. What is this? I am with you. Supernatural. And in the earlier section we said, Genesis 1, verse 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the surface of the deep, supernatural darkness. And the Spirit of God moved over the surface of the water. So we said that the scriptures opens up in the supernatural world. Right? Scripture opens up in a supernatural world. Supernatural world view. So, and it's very vital. We also saw that in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16. Okay, 2 Timothy 3 verse 16 says, all scriptures given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Now use the word inspiration of God. So scriptures are spirit inspired. They are God inspired. Inspiration of God. Right? Theonesis. They are inspired by God. God inspired. Right? And in the inspiration of God, God is going to use man's language. Right? It will accommodate man's culture and man's it will accommodate man's science. So in the inspiration of God, he accommodates man's language, man's culture. You use man's language, accommodate man's culture and science. Therefore, we will say the Bible is a supernatural book written in human language because God will use human language. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Something else we saw is that at the center of God's plan, right, for the earth is man. At the center of God's plan is man. My pastor Shek will say, man is God's method. Man is God's method. How? In Genesis 1:26, it says, God said, let's make man in our image. Now the word man there is universal man, Adam. God said, let's make man in our image, after our likeness. So what did he do? The man that he created in his image, that is found in his image and in his likeness, in chapter 2, he puts that man in his garden. At Genesis 2, verses 8, he said, and the Lord God planted the garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he formed. Whom he formed. Now don't forget I'm making assumptions of the fact that you've listened to series 1, series 2, volume 1, series 2, volume 2, chapter 1 and chapter 2, and then you were around for the last section. So those are the assumptions that I'm making. So, and that's why I'm taking this in a haste. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So we won't be asking ourselves, what's the significance of the Garden of Eden? Because we looked at it in series 1. Hope you're with me.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So God puts man in his garden. Now we said the Garden of Eden is a supernatural world, right? So he puts man in the supernatural world. So we can say man is set up in a supernatural world to function as God's priest and God's prophet. Man is set up in the supernatural world to function as God's priest and God's prophet. Amen. God has set man up in the supernatural world. And it's vital. So God's method is man. God will always use man. He will always use man. Man is at the center of God's will. So God will always, 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 always use man. In Exodus, when he was going to Egypt to deliver the children of Israel, he used Moses. Did you see that? He used Moses to deliver the children of Israel. Hallelujah.
Let's go.
Hallelujah.
Let's go.
When he was to preserve the earth, in Genesis chapter 9, who did he use? Noah. Don't you think because God has destroyed the earth? No, God preserved the earth. Hallelujah. So, remember, in our teaching of the revelation of God, we say in the visitation of God, in the salvation of God, you find, or in the visitation of God, what would you find? You find God's salvation, right? And then judgment for unbelief. Never forget that. Amen. You find God's salvation and judgment for unbelief. So we found that, and that's how Moses wrote in Genesis. In order for you to see it, first of all, in Noah, right? When God came to save, he saved them, right? He saved them from the flood. So in that salvation, what do you find? Judgment for unbelief. So if God wanted to really destroy the earth, he wouldn't have sent Noah to preach to them. You see that? But they didn't listen to Noah. So that means God was actually to preserve the earth. Also preserve the earth. And he told Noah to make what? An ark. Now the ark there that Noah made is a shrine. What Noah made was God's temple. Amen. So he called them forth into God's temple. But they didn't hear. They didn't listen. Do you understand me? And that is the so now find judgment for unbelief in God's preservation. Amen. We also find again in Sodom. God was going to Sodom. Abraham has prayed for Sodom. So God went to Sodom to rescue men, to find men to save. Amen. He got to Sodom. Lot went out to preach. They didn't listen to Lot. So if God really wanted to just, if God's purpose was to go and destroy Sodom, he wouldn't have even sent, Lot wouldn't have gone to preach. But Lot went to preach as an evangelist. He went to preach, but they didn't listen to him. Right? And what happened? Lot and his family were saved. In that salvation of Lot and his family, we found destruction for that country. Just that, we found destruction for Sodom and Gomorrah. So that means in the salvation of God, you find judgment for unbelief. And you find like that all through scriptures. You find even in Egypt, God went to deliver the children of Israel. We find judgment for Pharaoh and his army. Hope you are following that. Okay. If at the land of Egypt received judgment, the plagues, right? In the salvation of God, you find judgment for unbelief. What's your one? In John the Baptist, what did he talk about Jesus? He said, he who comes after me said, same will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is for those who believe. And those who do not believe will receive the baptism of fire, perishing. Amen. Hope you are following that. So in the salvation of God, you find judgment for unbelief. The words of Jesus, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shouldn't perish. So that means if you don't believe in Jesus, you will perish. Can you see that? Judgment for unbelief. Hope you are following me. It's always like that in scripture. Reward for believing, which is eternal life, and judgment of it is expelled from eternal life. That is just it. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
So never mix those two things up. So let's proceed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now let's look at Genesis 1:26 again very well. It says, and God said, let man have dominion. Dominion. Notice I told you that word dominion there is authority. Over all created beings, right? Right? Over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the surface of the earth. Now, I told you animals were used to describe supernatural beings. So that means man was given authority over supernatural beings. Man was given authority over what? Supernatural beings. Hallelujah. So man is God's letter.
Amen.
Man is God's maker. Look at how, so we began asking ourselves, what is man, right? Right? Look at Psalms 8. Psalms 8. It says, O Lord our God, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set the glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes thy suckling thou hast ordained strength, because of thy enemies thou hast, that thou mightest steal the enemies and the avenger. When I consider the heavens, watch the work of thy finger. Can you see that? The moon and the stars which thou art ordained. So God made the moon and the stars. Supernatural beings?
Yes, sir.
That's it. So God made the supernatural beings. Verse 4. What is man that thou art mindful of him? You see that? What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visited him. Thou had made him a little lower than the angels. The angels did the sun, moon and stars? Yes. Right? And has crowned them with glory and honor. Thou had made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou has put all things under his feet. Did you see that? Hallelujah. The things under his feet, and I mention all the ox, all the sheep and oxen, yea, all the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whosoever that passeth through the paths of the sea. O Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. So what was this saying? Not animals, but supernatural beings.
Hallelujah. We'll see that shortly.
Amen. So when he said, thou hast made him a little lower than the angel. Now, when he called the little lower than the angel, that's Hebrews, right? We're going to see Hebrews shortly. When he said little lower than the angels, everybody, let's get back to church. Let's get back to what I told us. That was recently. Little lower than the angels during CRC is what? Little lower than the angels are what? Physical appearance. Physical makeup. It has nothing to do with authority. So, but we now saw that it was the same man that he gave dominion over the works of his hands. He now mentioned all the same thing he mentioned in Genesis 1, 26 and 28. Can you see that there? Right? Look at verses 8. It says, verse 7. The sheep and the oxen, yea, all the beasts of the field. Genesis 1, 26, 28. The fowl of the air, right? And whosoever that passeth through the path of the sea. Oh Lord, thy God, our excellence, thy name in all the earth. Amen. So that means the little white ball of authority, but what is his humicon? So God made man free. God made man free. I believe that God made man free. Dust. You know, no matter how you clean your body, you still bring out death. Like, use the best crop in the world, you still bring out death. Your body is made of free. Okay, what do you mean? This body is free, it's corrupting. Amen. Amen. But that's the hope of, but that's the reason for the hope for the of the incorruptible body, right?
Yes, sir.
Right? For this body is free.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
So the body is free.
Very free.
So man, because so God made man free, because man is to have dominion. I told you. The reason why God made man to be free is because he wants man to have dominion. Right? The lesser is included in the greater. Right, just go to that. Just go. Glory to God. So the supernatural being have those, we're going to see the appearances in the third series. They have those kind of appearances, right? Because of what? Because of the assignment towards man. Okay, with me. They have an assignment towards man. So we said, you see the man who is busy enough. He's busy enough to be a bodyguard. You get that? Aha. So the physical makeup of the supernatural beings is because of man. So you don't get afraid of the physical makeup of supernatural beings. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Hope you're following me. But something very significant. Something very significant is Genesis chapter 3. Lord showed me in Genesis chapter 3. So how did God make man? Make man? What we just saw, right? Is that how God made man?
Yes, sir.
So let's go to Genesis 2, that part. Let's see something quickly. Genesis chapter 3. quickly. Verses. Let's say 3 now. No, let's go to chapter 2, sorry. Verse 16. He says, and the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree in the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Right? Chapter 3. Satan came again and tempted the woman. In verse 2 he says, verse 3, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, he said, thou shalt not eat of it, neither shalt thou touch it, lest ye shall die. Did you see that? So that means what God has done. Also too in chapter 4, verses 11. Oh, sorry, chapter 4, verses 7. 16 to 7. And the Lord said to Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou dost well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou dost not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall his desire be. Can you see that? Right? And thou shalt rule over him. Did you see that? Glory to God.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
So you find out that what God has done is that God has given man a choice. Look at chapter 4, 2 from verse 1. They were to bring their offering, their service to worship to God. Amen. So what God has done was to give man a choice. In as much as this is how he created man. He created man to have dominion, right? He wanted man to have, this is how he created man. That is how God created man. He gave you that frame body so that you have dominion, so that you do this. But God gives you a choice. Amen. That's how God works. He gives man choices. He doesn't impose his will on man. He gives man choices to either yes or not to. Hallelujah. So God gives man choices. You must always understand that. He places man, he gives man a choice. Hallelujah. He gives man a choice to be found in his sacred assignment. His sacred assignment in Genesis chapter 3, he said to man to dress, verses 15, to dress and to keep it. Right? To dress and to keep it, Genesis 2:15. Verses 8, sorry. Verse 15, to dress and to keep it. He gave man that assignment to dress and to keep it. Abad, used for service, priesthood, we've said that, right? To be a priest, Abad and Shammah. But he now went to verse 16, now gave him what? Choices. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. He now gave him choices. And it's very vital you see it. Very, very vital you see it. When Cain was to be driven out because of his own choices in verse 12, he said, look at what God said to him, when thou tillest the ground, thou shalt henceforth yield, it shall not henceforth yield unto, I mean, shall not henceforth yield unto thee of her strength. A fugitive and the vagabond that shall be in the earth. So what he's telling him is that he will no longer be found in God's sacred assignment. That is, he will no longer, even if he tills the earth, he will no longer yield him fruit. He will not be found in God's sacred assignment. Amen. Mm. Amen. Mm. So God's plan is that man should be found in his sacred assignment. But he will have to make a choice to be found in God's plan. Amen. So God doesn't impose his sacred assignment on us. Doesn't impose his plan, his will, and the purpose on the earth on man. He gives man a choice. Man has to make a choice. Amen. Man has to make a choice. Hallelujah. In Genesis 25, we found Esau and Jacob. Genesis 25. Esau and Jacob. Verses 23. He says, then the Lord said unto her, which is, he says, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. The one shall be stronger, the one shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. Now he used the word serve the younger. The word to serve there is the same word abad. So Esau was in God's plan, God's pre-plan, right? Is it pre-plan?
Yes,
is it pre-plan?
Yes, sir.
Is it predestination?
Yes, sir.
No.
No.
It's God's pre-plan. So in God's pre-plan, God has pre-planned that the elder should serve abad, sacred assignment, right? Priesthood, the role of the father. So that's God's pre-plan. But as we said, God's pre-plan can fail. Why? Because man will have a choice. Hope you are following me. So what was God's plan for Esau? To be a priest. But was that the case? No. Why? Because in verses 32, let's see, and Esau said, behold, I'm at the point of that. And what profit shall this birthright do to me? What's the birthright?
The birthright is that same abad. The birthright was not that bad. He said, what's the use of being a priest when I want to die? Can you see that? What's the use of serving God? He made a choice. Hope you're following that. He was to be God's priest to take over from his father. Hope you are seeing it. But he despised the office. He despised it. So man will always have to make a choice. Hope you're following that. Man will always have to make a choice to be found in God's assignment. Hallelujah. I'm not making a choice itself, it's a choice. Amen. So, God can have a plan for a man, but a man will have to make a choice to be found in God's plan. Hallelujah. Amen. Therefore, we say God will always give man a choice. Deuteronomy 11. I hope I'm not too fast. Okay. I think the last section, we ended last section on this note, on this high note. And I started this section from this low note. You don't expect me to take it from that high note. You miss everything. I will say it. Amen. Deuteronomy 11. Are you there? Verse 26. It says, behold, I said before you this day, blessing and curse. Did you see that? God said that to your father. He said, a blessing if you obey my commandment, if you obey the commandment of the Lord God, which I command you this day, and curse if you obey not the commandment of the Lord God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day, to go after other gods which ye have not known. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord thy God hath brought thee into the land, whether thou goest to possess it, that thou shalt put the blessing upon man's jealousy and the curse upon man's evil. Are they not on the other side of Jordan, by the way where the sun goeth down in the land of the Canaanites, which dwell in the campaign over against Gilead, beside the plains of Moreh? Amen. So you find that God said, I said before it is the blessing and curses. Right? Can you see that?
Yes, sir.
Glory to God. Look at chapter 30. Deuteronomy 30. Verse 1. It shall come to pass, when all these things are come upon thee, and the blessing and the curse which I have set before thee, that thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations, whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee. Right? Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Glory to God. Mm-hmm. Look at from verses 15. If I said before thee this day, life and good, and death and evil. Did you see that? Now, I have taught you this in one of our teachings. What teaching is that? One of our old teachings. I think that was 2 years ago, 2022, 2023. I taught us this same thing, and I was teaching Genesis.
And I told you that when you pick Genesis, I think it's one of our pneumatical teachings. I said, when you pick Genesis, when it says he gave them, I was explaining the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But and that was where I taught you that whatever you have in Genesis, right? Genesis is a seed form of what he taught in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And all you find in Genesis, though you have the lifestyle, the life of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the right, you find. So it is what Moses has is teaching them, right, in the lifestyle of the patriarchs. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. So when you find tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil, right, you're thinking of tree. Then you are missing it because you have to come again to Deuteronomy to see what he's talking about. What is he talking about in Deuteronomy? You are seeing that the trees there is referring to what he has set before them, like he did to Adam. Life and good, right? Tree of life, death and evil. Did you see that? Hallelujah.
Praise
Hallelujah.
Praise
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Look at verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. Did you see that? Did you see that?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
So you have these choices that are given us by God to be found in his sacred assignment. Hallelujah. So God will always give man choices. God will always give man choices. And you mustn't forget that. Hope you are following this.
Yes, sir.
God will always give man choices. To be found in his sacred assignment. Right? So can we say God will give man choices to function in his office? And what is the office? To have dominion over the fish of the sea. Right? Hallelujah. Man found in God's sacred place. Is man, no, remember I told you the word dominion there is authority, and authority is delegated power, right? So man will be found, man making the right choices will be found in God's sacred assignment, where he will also exercise authority over what supernatural beings. So we said, supernatural beings are referred to as, I will list them out again. We call them, we said this in the earlier session. We said they are referred to as the host of heaven. The host of heaven. They are referred to as sun, moon, and stars. Deuteronomy chapter 4. The host of heaven. Deuteronomy 17, verse 3. Deuteronomy 4. Deuteronomy 17, verse 3. Deuteronomy 4, 12 into 19. Deuteronomy 7, verse 3. Sun, moon, and stars. We said they're also referred to as the sons of God, Job. The sons of God. And you say they are called sons of God because they function together with God. Right? But they are not on the same pedestal with God. Can we say that? Can you remember that? Can you remember that? God is above them. So we know that God functions in union, right? God operates, the Godhead is in a union. We said that too, is in a union. The Father and the Son. Right? And we said every writer of scripture upheld that truth. Is not, and I said to us that we are having this issue today. People finding it hard to grab this truth because something else has been taught us over the years. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a fact of scripture that the Father and the Son operate in a union. In fact, we said that Jesus also made mention of it, right? John chapter 10, verses 32. John 10, 33. He said, I and my Father are in card, are in union. And they picked up stones in verse 34 to stone him. Because they knew, that means the Pharisees also knew that God operates in a union. The Pharisees knew that fact. That God operates in a union. So the picked up stone in verse 33, in verse 36, they said, we sold it not for good words, but because thou being a man says you are God. Did you see that?
So they know that Jesus of that word, the Father, I mean, when Jesus said, I am the Father, I Ikat, Jesus of that Ikat shows that he's saying he's a supernatural being that operates with God in the Godhead. Do you get me?
Yes, sir.
Even angels can't use the word a card with God.
Even if they work in the company, amen. They work in company with God, right? They can't use the word a card.
But Jesus used the word a card. Do you see that? And that was very strong. Amen. We saw that Paul also did the same thing.
A card, 1 Corinthians 8. The Lord our God is a card. And he opens that Ikar to be the Father and the Son.
We saw it too from John too. In 1 John, the Father and the Son. We have it as Paul's opening signature in all his writing. The Father and the Son. So the Godhead. When you open that Godhead, you find the Father and the Son.
Hope you're following me.
Yes, sir.
Amen. So John in his synoptic now said, Jesus is the God personality in Genesis. So that means the one who created, by whom the heavens and the earth were created, was Jesus.
Genesis.
And then in Genesis chapter 2, we now found out that God will rest in the works of God. You hope you are following me?
Yes, sir.
So you find that personality. Let us. The use of the word let us. The use of the word our. It proposes that what? God was referring to one whom they function together on the same pedestal with. Let me follow that.
Yes, ma'am.
Now the psalmist will use another word. The psalmist will say, the Lord said to my Lord. It shows you that dual personality. The Lord, Yahweh said to Yahweh. The Lord said to my Lord. So David sits in his chair or in his throne as a king. And as a prophet. So he sees in the supernatural and he hears the Lord said to my Lord. So that means Jesus being God or the union of the Father and the Son, right? Right? Is not a new revelation, as we call it. No. It's been like the same all through the scriptures. Amen. The Father and the Son. The Lord and the people in the Old Testament books knew. If you ask Moses will tell you no, because it was something that they knew, right? David will say, the Lord said to my Lord, the Lord said to my Lord, Yahweh said to Yahweh. In fact, what recent translators now did was to try to water that thing down. They don't say, the Lord said to Adonai, Yahweh said to Adonai, amen. But it's actually Yahweh said to Yahweh. Sit at my right hand. Amen. Till I make thy enemies thy footstool. So that is a conversation. Amen. Among the Godhead. Who are following that?
Yes, sir.
Aha. Thank you. And then too, Daniel also shows us too. We're going to see Daniel maybe as we get into the new series. Right? We'll see that Daniel will say, The Son of Man, which is referring to God. No, Daniel's personality of the Son of Man is the Word of God. We're going to see that too. Daniel's personality of the Son of Man is the Word of God. So when you hear Jesus use the word Son of Man, he was referring at the background of it is Daniel's use of the word Son of Man in reference to what they reference to God. Amen. So he said the Son of Man coming again and then delivering the kingdom to the Father. The ancient of days. Did you see that? So Daniel also shows you those two personalities again. One called the ancient of days, this seat. Who are following that? And why does he use the word ancient of days? To typify the father factor, the father character. Amen. The father. Who are following me?
Yes, sir.
Who are following me?
Hallelujah.
So I need you to pay the close attention to what I'm showing you today. Okay. Sorry, a minute. Okay. Okay, let's see something else. So, what was I? Son of God, right?
Yes, sir.
So, the supernatural beings are also referred to as angelic, like angels, right? They refer to as angels. But now, I told you, angels is not a description. Angels is a function, right?
Angels is, the word angel is functional. It's a function. It's not a, it's a job description. It's not a name.
So when God himself carries out his message himself, he's called the angel. God is also referred to as the angel. Amen. Genesis 48, quickly.
Genesis 48. So when God carries out his assignment, God is called the angel. Genesis 48, verse 14. You see? And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands weakly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, God before whom my father Abraham and Isaac did walk, God which fed me, right, all life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil. Did you see that? He's referring to God and he calls it the angel which redeemed me from all evil. Bless the Lord. Right? Hallelujah. So he refers to God as the angel. Watch it. He refers to God as the angel. Look at quickly chapter 32 verse 28. When you use the word the angel which redeemed me, that was actually chapter 28, sorry. The angel which redeemed me. Okay. Look at verses 15. It said, and behold, I am with thee. I will keep thee in all the places where thou goest, and will bring thee again to this land. For I will not leave thee unto the dead until I have done that which I have spoken of thee. Right? And Jacob awoke out of his sleep. So he calls the Lord, right? He calls him the angel. Please mark that. Angel. Calls him the angel. They are also referred to as principalities and powers. Lastly, they are also referred to as Elohim. Elohim God. You see, Elohim? Yeah, Elohim God. Now, I've told you before now that the word God is a generic name. The word God, G-O-D, is a generic name. So, and it's called Elohim. Supernatural beings are also called gods. It's both used for Yahweh and supernatural beings. But the difference between Yahweh and these gods or these supernatural beings is that, one, Yahweh created them. We saw that last session, right? Yahweh created them. He is the head above them. Look at Psalms 95 verses 3. Psalms 95 verse 3. It says, for the Lord is great, for the Lord is a great God, and a king above all gods. Do you see that? the king above all gods. So the Lord is a great Elohim and a great king above all Elohim. Did you see that? Above all Elohim. So he's God. As the, I mean Genesis 20 verses 28 verse 12. They dreamt yet another dream. I mean, yes, he dreamt, and the letter set upon the earth, and the angels of God ascending and descending on it, and the Lord stood above it. Amen. The Genesis 28. So, the letter set upon the earth, and it reached the heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it, and behold, the Lord stood above it. So, God is above. What? He is the head. He is above all supernatural beings. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
We also said God created them. We saw that. God created the supernatural beings. God created the supernatural beings. He created the supernatural beings. Genesis 1:15. We saw that in the last section. Right? He created the supernatural beings. Genesis 1, 4 verses 14 into 15. We saw how he created the sun, moon, and the stars. Right? Psalms 33, verse 16. I mean verses 6, 10, verses. It says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by his breath of his mouth. So he made them, God created them, he created them. Right? Nehemiah chapter 9 verse 6. Nehemiah 9 verse 6. Thou, even thou, art Lord alone, who hath made the heavens and the heavens of heavens, with their hosts, the earth and all that is in, that are therein, the seas and all that are therein, thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee. So God created the host of heaven, which is referring to supernatural beings. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Also, when the writer writes about God, right, they do differentiate God with the name Most High God. God is differentiated with the name Most High God. In Genesis 14, which is the interaction between Abraham and Melchizedek. Genesis 14. From verses 20. I'll read for verses 18. I'll read for verses 18. See, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and was a priest of the Most High God. Can you see? And blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham, possessor of, Abraham of the Most High God. Did you see that? Possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, who had delivered thy enemies into thy hand. And he gave him title of all. And the king of Sodom said unto Abraham, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. And Abraham said unto the king of Sodom, I have lifted up my hands unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of the heaven and earth. You see that? Amen. So God is called the Most High God. Can you see it? Look at Numbers 24 quickly. Numbers 24, verses 15. Numbers 24, verses 15. Okay. And he took up his parable and said, Balaam, the son of Beor, had said that the man whose eyes are open, that the man whose eyes are open had said, he had said, which heard the words of God and knew the knowledge of the Most High, which saw visions of the Almighty falling into a trance, but have his eyes opened. So he calls God the Most High. Can you see? It's just the same. God is called the Most High. Deuteronomy 32 verse 8. I'll read. It says, when the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam and set bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel, they actually the children of God. We'll see it in the coming sections. Amen. According to the children of God. Amen. The Most High is called the Most High. Right? When the Most High, God is called the Most High. Second Samuel. It can't be lost on you. God is called the Most High. 2 Samuel 22, verse 14. It says, And the Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. The Most High. Psalm 7, verse 17. It says, I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. So God is called Most High. Psalms 9 verse 2. It says, I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O Lord Most High. Psalms 21 verse 7. It says, for the king trusted in the Lord, and through the mercies of the Most High, he shall not be moved. Most High. God is called Most High. Psalms 47 verse 2. I'll read. It says, the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a king over all the earth. Right? The Lord Most High. Psalm 50. Verse 14. It says, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows to the Most High. It's called Most High. Psalm 57 verse 2. It says, I will cry unto the Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. Most High. Psalm 82 verse 6. Now it's something we'll look at. Psalm 82 verse 6. It says, I have said, ye are gods. Right? And all of you are children of the Most High. Is that? Of the Most High. So, God is called the Most High God. Hallelujah. Come here for a living. God is called what? Most High God. Okay. God is also called the righteous judge. God judges. Genesis 18. God is also called the righteous judge. Genesis 18, verse 25. Yeah, I'll read. It says, that defy from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked. That's Abraham's pleading for Sodom. He says, to slay the righteous with the wicked. And that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? So God is called the judge. Hallelujah. God is called what? The judge. He judges. In Psalms 82, we'll find it that he is the righteous judge. He judges supernatural beings. Psalms 82 from verse 1.
Okay,
He says, God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. Now, mighty there is the word Elohim. God standeth in the congregation of the Elohim. Read that. He judges amongst the gods.
He judges amongst the word Elohim. He standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judges amongst the Elohim, gods.
Right? How long shall ye judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked, Selah? He says, defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Right? He says, deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hands of the wicked. They know not. Neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. The foundation of the earth are out of course. Now, this is not referring to man, but supernatural beings. He says, I have said, ye are gods. He's referring to those gods. He says, I have said, you are gods. And all of you are children.
Sons, right? Sons, children of the Most High, right? You walk in company with God.
Right? He doesn't say, I have said, ye are gods of the Most High, but ye shall die like men. Ye shall die like men. This is God's proclamation today. And fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, and judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. Did you see that? Amen. He says,
watch the use of the word God again. God standing in the congregation of the righteous, I mean of the mighty, and judges among the gods. Right? Now God is now speaking. God now said to God, shall arise and judge on the earth. Did you see that dual personality again? Can you see it? It's there. So scripture didn't misplace it. It's there. Just that you decided to just read it singular. Amen. And you know, that has affected the worship of so many people. Just reading God as a singular thing. That's why I have a friend tomorrow who I know is born again. But he's trying to prove to me, he has been proving this for years, that God is a singular being. He has been proving, I told him, what you are saying? And he was using he's using logic. Amen?
Amen.
He's using logic. You can't use logic to preach that to me. Amen. And I'm surprised he has never used the Lord our God is one for me. I was looking for you, if I want to, I'll wait for you there. But he has not. I'm using every other logic. Last time was sending me a graph. Delete this thing. He's not showing me scripture. He has showing me graph.
Amen.
It has affected, it will affect your worship of God. There's just that subtle thing there, that like Jesus is not God. It's just subtle. That's the effect of word translation. You know what is word translation? No? Who has word translation? Yes or no? You not seen word translation Bible before?
New Living Translation.
No. Word.
Is it the message?
No. Word translation. Jehovah Witness. That word translation. That is the, in fact, word translation. Word translation is duty. You don't know that organization? I'm being merciful for them, to them. Yeah. Word translation. Watchtower. That's the effect of... Watchtower had a very significant influence in Nigeria years ago. Serious. And that mood of evangelism, they went from house to house. They had strong influence. They now provided a book, Bible story book, not charcoal. They run Bible story book that children then used to have. Story book. Used to have a story book, yellow cover. But in a lot of that was Jehovah's Witness. They used to peddle a whole lot of their message in that story book. All the story where you see snake fall down from tree. All the story.
In fact, a lot of churches that didn't believe in global business, not knowing that that book was from global business, used it in their Sunday school to teach children. Amen.
Glory to God.
It's just subtle. You can't reason it.
Amen. Move ahead. We trust God. You don't expect some things that you were born with.
Well, one day you keep on understanding it by and by.
Amen. So it's inside the scriptures. And the Lord is called righteous judge. Was that where we are? No. Go further. Okay, yeah. It's a judge. Right, yes. Yeah. He judges supernatural beings.
So, how I left off was when I said, can you see the dual personalities of God? Yes,
right? Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Now, what would the psalmist have pointed our attention to? He says, God standeth in the congregation of the mighty and judges amongst the gods. Now look at how he judged. He said, how long shall ye judge unjustly and accept the presence of the wicked? So that means the supernatural beings, right, have a role. Listen, have a role towards man. They have a role towards man. And they were unjust in their dealings with men. Supernatural beings were unjust in their dealings with men. Therefore, we can say supernatural beings, as we see, we're going to see, also had a choice.
We'll see that. Those who have choice. So, you know, someone who thinks supernatural beings are robots. They don't have feelings. They don't have choices. No, they need choices.
Amen.
Supernatural beings have choices. Right? And they could end. That's what we saw there. They end. Supernatural beings could end. Amen. So that means supernatural beings might not be as perfect as you think. In good. Glory to God. So they end.
So if they end, it means God didn't make any supernatural being evil.
Hope you're following me. God didn't make any supernatural being evil. Evil came as a result of their choices. We're going to see all that in series 3. Remember I told you we're going to look at that. Evil came as a result of their choices.
Go to
God. God didn't make any of them evil. At all. But was as a result of choices. So we could have, that means we could have supernatural beings that have end, right?
Right?
Oh, we're going to see the, in when you have disembodied spirits. Like I said that to us in church, right? We have disembodied spirits. Well, does the name, is it demon, devil, Satan? What does it mean? How did it come about, right? We're going to see all this bit by bit. Amen. So that means Satan, Satan is a function, right? Right? It is a function, an opposition. Do you get me? So let's clarify every that supernatural, they are satanos, right?
Because let's say the devil, right?
The devil was not created to be the devil. Was not created to be Satanus.
What about Colonel?
No, he made the Satan out of himself.
What about Colonel?
Amen. So the dark supernatural were not created dark supernatural. They became dark supernatural by their own will. Not God.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
Look at, so that means we have supernatural beings too that have erred. In Jude,
in Jude 6. Jude 6. Jude 6, he said, and the angels which kept not their first estate. Now that word first estate there is, so you have the one who kept not their principalities. Amen. Who kept not their first estates. Right? So when you hear that they are called principalities and powers, when you hear principalities, you're going to see it shortly. Right? They are called principalities because supernatural beings in general, because the Most High, you see that in Deuteronomy 32. Amen. Amen. Principalities there. The word used for principalities is for one who is giving a should I call it? Principalities deals with territorial, deals with land, regions and the like. Yeah, it deals with authority. So now John is writing about them. He says, the angels which kept not their principalities, their first estates, this is that, their assignments, their function. You see that? We have principalities and powers. You understand the difference to supernatural beings. We're going to see all that subsequently. I'm quoting those places so that you see it as we proceed. Amen.
Amen.
So they kept not their first estate, their principalities, but left their own habitation. Right? They left their own habitation. That is, they left their office, their function. They left their position. Right? And every writer of scripture understood that Jude is writing from Genesis chapter 6. Amen. He said he has reserved an everlasting chains under darkness until the judgment of the great day. Now, all that darkness doesn't mean they are hidden somewhere in chains. So, no. This is what describes this embodied spirit. Amen. He described this embodied spirit. I will explain it to us. Amen. Describe this embodied spirit. So they are left in darkness. It's not that they were tied up somewhere. They are tied up right now in the bottomless pit. So in the how do people explain the book of Revelation? In the rapture, the body will not be released from the bottomless pit to commence people. It's going to be great tribulation. Then they will now be tied again. To now be released after 1,000 years of the Armageddon War. If you know the whole script. No. Amen. It's teaching you that right now they are in the bottomless pit. They are about to be released. That's not what Jude is explaining. Amen. Mm-hmm. We're going to see that this explanation of Jude shortly. Amen.
Amen.
Remember, I told you we are taking up the third series on Thursdays, from this Thursday that we're entering, so that you will begin to close down on it, AD, till next year. Now, what we've learned with this is 1, 2, 3, we want to digest it. And like some people were saying, Pastor, this one. Like the apostle said, I think you will go and digest everything together. Yeah. Then we'll come back. We'll come back. Okay, now we know it. Abi?
Yeah.
Let's do something.
Sure.
No, we know that. So we'll be here. We'll look at it again.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
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 I trust God. I'm the pastor. I trust God.
Okay.
Where are we?
Where
are we?
Okay.
Thanks,
yeah.
Doctor. Yeah. Your habitation.
Yeah. So they left the habitation, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So they left the habitation means that was what happened in Genesis 6. The sons of God saw the daughters of men, right?
Yes, sir.
And they came and then they slept with the daughters of men. Do you get that?
Aha.
Uh-huh. So they left their estate, they left their call, left their work. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So they left their function. What was supposed to be their function? What was supposed to be their function? Look at Genesis chapter 3 verse 22. Genesis 3 verse 22. What was supposed to be their function that they left? Oh Lord, my God, we are so blind. And you send bright cloud. You know, I said something to us when I was teaching us on pneumaticals. I said,
I think it's pneumaticals, yeah, about the prophet.
Is it pneumaticals or no? Maybe it's this one.
I said something about the prophet that
when you hear
false prophets, right? Evil prophets. We say they are granted access by who?
By demons.
Yeah, that's supernatural.
Let's restrict demons or everything to that supernatural. Right?
Uh-huh. Of sight. Right?
Of the supernatural.
So that's why I said sight seeing things is not a sign. Right?
Of
very vital. Not a sign, but is it vital a prophet should see? Yes. Is it vital a prophet should hear from God? Yes. To see? Yes. But is that the sign of who a prophet is? No. Okay, I will be.
Uh-huh.
Don't forget what I'm teaching you. Glory to God.
Okay. Chapter 3, verse 22. It says, and the Lord said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. Now lest he put forth his hand, and to take of the tree of life, and to eat and live forever. Wherefore, the Lord sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. 24. It says, so he drove man out, and he placed at the east of the garden cherubims. We'll deal with this. Right?
I know I've taught it before as the hierarchy of angels, of angels, supernatural beings. Yeah. I will explain it for that. So, yeah, he puts cherubs. We're going to see what's the meaning of the word cherubs.
Now, he put cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Hallelujah.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Yes.
So that means they have a duty. He says flaming sword to turn every way to keep. That's the word shama. The way of the tree of life. To keep.
Shama. So that means the supernatural beings have a supernatural role towards man, towards keeping the way of life. So that means they have, now that was reason of the flaming sword. Now, it's not to cut off the place of the earth, no. The flaming sword there is the fact that they have a duty to lead men to the worship of Yahweh. They have a duty to lead men to the worship of Yahweh. Supernatural beings have a duty to lead men to the worship of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
So, what is the role of supernatural beings? To lead men to the worship of God. To point men's direction to the way of life, to the way of God. Is that? To the way of life. Amen.
Amen.
To God's purpose. Now, you remember the angel that spoke to Peter? Remember the angel? That told Peter to go and proclaim the word of life. Did you remember that? Right? From prison. He told him. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So, angels have a role. We're going to see the role of supernatural beings. Maybe that's how we'll start that series. Amen. The role of supernatural beings in the book of Acts. We'll see. So that you don't think the role of supernatural beings was gone with the Old Testament. The angel in Jesus. No. Amen. They have a role towards the believer. Glory to God. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, look at how the writer of Hebrews called. Please see. Hebrews 1. Because we've not been, it's many times because believers have not been taught well. Right? So they think the ministry of angels is ended. No, it's not. Hebrews 1 verse 14, it says, are they not all ministering spirits, right, sent forth to minister for them
who shall be heirs of salvation, to minister for them.
To minister what? For them, who shall be heirs of salvation. So, supernatural things are to minister for man.
I don't want to use the word at our beck and call, but they actually have a function towards that for us.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
To ensure that God's task in the earth is carried out also. Glory to God.
Amen.
For man. For man. For man. Glory to God. Supernatural beings. Supernatural beings are to minister for man. Are to minister for man. But sometimes our knowledge of them and their function towards man has also restricted. Have also restricted us in receiving their ministry for us. And towards us. You see all that? Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Sometimes we just restrict them with our mind. We cannot even receive of their ministry.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now, when I talk about supernatural beings, I'm talking about for towards us is supernatural beings, right?
The Chilean call it light supernatural.
We have dark supernatural, right? Glory to God. No, you don't think when I talk about supernatural beings, think is they are all evil? No, they are not all. But we have the dark supernatural, those who have heard, right?
Right?
Those who have heard that the of demons, devils, and the like. Right? That's what I have. Glory to God. So, supernatural beings are to minister for us, and they are not to be worshipped.
They are not to be worshipped. Look at Angel Gabriel when he visited Mary. He didn't receive the worship of Mary.
They are not to be worshipped. It's very vital. Only Yahweh should be worshipped. Only who?
Yahweh
should be worshipped. Isaiah 86, Psalms 86. Psalms 86. That is it. It says, among the gods, there's none other, there's none like thee, O Lord. Neither is any, neither are there any works like unto thy work. All nations whom thou hast made, come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great, and thou art doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Verse 12. He said, I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. Hallelujah. Look at Psalms 95. From verse 1. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise to him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, come, let's make joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Psalms 96 from verse 4. It says, the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Did you see that? All the gods of the nations are idols. But the Lord made the heavens.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory, 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 glory.
Hallelujah.
Woo! Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
You're going to see, remember I told you the caption of this teaching. It's not just the school of the spirit. It's actually what? The believer's authority.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. And this is how we are teaching believer's authority again.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's see some oil on Psalms 97 verse 6. It says, the heavens declare his righteousness and all the people his glory. Confounded be all they that serve graven image, that boast themselves of idols. Worship him, all ye gods. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God alone should be worshipped. So the worship of supernatural beings, as we have seen, is called what? Idol worship. Can you see it? Did you read it in Psalms 96 and 97?
Yes,
sir. Did we read it there?
Yes, sir.
Is the worship of supernatural beings is called the worship of idols. So supernatural beings are not supposed to be worshipped. It's called idol worship. Hallelujah. Psalms 106. Verse 37. Are you there? This is, yea, they sacrifice their sons and their daughters to devils. I'll start from verse 33. Let me start from 29. It says, thus they provoke him to anger, and their inventions and the plague break upon them. Then stood Phinehas and executed judgments, and so the plague was stayed, and it was counted unto him for righteousness unto generations forevermore. See, they angered him also at the water of strife. They angered him also at the water of strife. That should be Numbers, right? So that it went ill with Moses for their sake, because they provoked his spirit. That was Moses, and they provoked his spirit. So that he spoke he spoke unadvisedly with his lips. They did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them. Right? When the Lord commanded them. But were mingled among the heathen. Now this was when they got to the land. He said, and learned their works. Did you see that? When they got to the land in Deuteronomy, he said they mingled with the heathen and learned their works. That we find in Deuteronomy and Judges. In verse 36, it says, and they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. They served their idols of those nations were a snare unto them. And yet they sacrificed their sons and their daughters. Amen. Sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils, and shed innocent blood, even the blood of the sons and of their daughters whom they sacrificed to idols of Canaan. Can you see that? And the land was polluted with blood. Thus they defiled with their own works, and went a whoring with their own inventions. So he calls inventions, he called it idols, inventions of idols. Remember, before they got into the land, Moses had warned them that they shouldn't make any beast, right? Deuteronomy 4, you shouldn't liken him to any beast, any creature. So when you begin to now make creature like those other nations, it's called inventions. Do you see that?
Yes, sir.
You're not talking about inventions of today. Inventions of today is idol. You're talking about those inventions that were now being worshipped. Amen. Those things that were created that were not. So invention is that which is created. Amen. Amen. So when supernatural beings are worshipped, it is called idols. Idols. And when the supernatural beings should now receive the worship of men, it is said that they have erred. So supernatural beings sin when they receive the worship of men. Now we found two sins of supernatural beings. One, when they left their first estate, right? And then they went to sleep with the daughters of men. Did you see that? Two is when they received the worship of men. That is the end. Right? And when they judge unjustly, we're going to see all that one shortly. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see that first of all,
The taste for supernatural, for the supernatural, is why men go into worship of supernatural things. You've seen that, right? Because I told us in series one that man hungers and thirsts for the supernatural. It's default.
Amen.
It's default. Man was created to hunger and thirst for God. Amen. But when that hunger and thirst for God is perverted, when it is perverted, it leads to what? Idol worship. Who said that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
And it's very vital we see it. Very vital we see it. Glory to God. Look at Romans chapter 1 quickly. You see two things shortly. Romans 1. A lot of verse 20. From verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against the ungodly and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because they which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God to an image made like corruptible man. Did you see that? That is serving gods, right? And bed, and four-footed beasts and creeping things. This is against Deuteronomy 4. Can you remember that? Is it against Deuteronomy 4? Are you not listening? Is it against Deuteronomy 4?
Yes, sir.
I'm reading, some of you are sleeping. Amen. This is against Deuteronomy 4.
Yes, sir.
Wherefore, God gave them up to uncleanness, through the lust of their own heart, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Say, for this cause, God gave them up to vile affections, for their own women changed the natural uses of... Okay, let's leave that. So, you find that God gave them up, right? So, what does it mean that God gave them up? God allowed it. Amen. God allowed it. So, you now discover that when you now hear the Most High divided to the nations, according to the children of the sons of God, you will discover also it's first because of their what? This thing that Moses was talking about. I mean, that Paul was talking about. We'll see that as we get into section 3. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. God just allowed them. Why? Because they became vain in their imaginations. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. Because I think it was in church that someone asked that question, that why is it that if it was God that divided the nations, it wasn't in church, but that if it was God that divided the nations to supernatural beings, so why is it I'm going to fight them to bring it back? Hope you're following me. No. Supernatural beings talk about how estates, right? I mean, estate territories where they will lead men to the worship of God, right? But men began to worship those supernatural beings. You see that? And the supernatural beings also began to receive those worship. So there is now a perversion. So God now gives them up. You see that? Now reserve Israel to himself. We'll see all that as we progress. Amen. Now reserve Israel to himself. Amen. Amen. And we'll see how he reserved Israel to himself.
He reserved Israel to himself. We'll see shortly. How did he reserve Israel to himself? Because other nations are now being taken over by gods.
Glory to God.
So how did he reserve Israel to himself?
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. So one more thing. Look at that Deuteronomy 32. Let me quickly make a distinction there on time. It's off my notes, but I think I need to make that distinction on time. Deuteronomy 32. Now, verses 8. It says, when the Most High divided to the nations in their inheritance, and separated the sons of Adam, and set bounds of the people according to the numbers of the children of Israel. Now wait. Now every scholar knows that this part was Genesis 11. This is where Genesis 11, where they built a tower and then named their tongue, and then they built a tower, right, serving of supernatural beings, and then they were confounded and they started speaking different languages like that. Now everyone knew that this was it. Now, according to the children of Israel was when there was an issue, because Israel was not yet a nation. Israel was not even born. Abraham was not even born. I mean, let me know this word, Abraham. Israel, Isaac, I mean, Jacob was not born. So, there was no way Genesis 11 would have the children of Israel, because Israel was not born. Hope you are following me. So, it's actually the word children of Israel that was a translation issue. It's actually according to the sons of God. Okay, okay. Sons of God. And they were talking about supernatural beings. That the nations had now been divided to supernatural beings. Hope you're with me. The nations have now been divided to supernatural beings. Why? Because God gave them up. Do you see that? God gave them up that way. God gave them up means, it means God allowed it. Definitely. God gave them up, it means that God allowed it. God did nothing about it. Look at Paul Lady. Look at Paul Lady. God did nothing about it. It was their choice. Remember, God always give man a choice. Right? But he will walk it out back. That's God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So man chose that path. Man chose that choice. Glory to God. So the sons of, according to the sons of Israel, then is actually according to the sons of God. So I think I need to make that clear first. Then let's look at something else. Something else you now see is that even around this fall of man here, in Deuteronomy 32, which is Genesis 11, you will find that at the background of it are supernatural elements. Amen.
Amen.
At the background, right? At the background to the fall of man would be supernatural entities, elements. Now, and this is very vital. When people talk about the fall of man or fall of man in scriptures, everybody only restricts it to Adam and Eve. I know that is wrong. In fact, people now blame Adam and Eve for what they did not sin for. They say we are all sinners because of Adam and Eve, and it's a lie. The sins of Adam and Eve did not even affect Cain and Abel. Amen? So it now looks as if there's only one disobedience in the Bible. No. No. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
So when you buy my Book of Romans, chapter 2, we're talking about by one man sin came into the world. Not referring to Adam. He said by one man, by man there, the man there is actually Anthropos. Look for humanity. So and you have to weigh in all the sins in Genesis together. Amen. So you can't restrict it to Adam. Adam was just a type. So what was saying by one man is referring to Adam became a type of how sin came into the world. Hope you're with me. Amen. It became a type. Like Femi would say, he became an archetype.
So Adam was used as an archetype for what sin does to man. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
What sin does to man. Not Adam became the reason why everybody sins. No. Amen. The Adam is the reason why man has a frail body.
Not true.
Amen. God created man from the dust of the earth. So man was created that way. But to now choose to have eternal life and live forever. Come here with me. So now we do unjustly to scripture when we restrict the sin of scripture to only Adam and Eve. In Genesis chapter 4, and we want to find that at the background of all the fault, of all the sin against God from man, you find at the background supernatural elements. Remember I told you, in the fall of man, you find the fall of supernatural beings. Amen. They are behind the fall of man because they were supposed to lead man. This is that. They were supposed, that was why they were created, to minister for man, to lead men to the worship of God. But yet, in carrying out their assignment, right, they took positions to receive the worship of God from man. I hope you're going to read it. And that was the problem. Therefore, in Genesis chapter 3, who do you have? You have, in Genesis chapter 3, you have Adam and Eve. And at the background of Adam and Eve, who do you have there? The serpent, supernatural being. You see that? And when you, something that you see that in the judgment of Adam and Eve, you also find judgment for the serpent. Did you see that? Did you see that? So that means the serpent was judged. So Psalms 82 is not the first time that supernatural beings were judged. Serpent was judged in Genesis chapter 3. Who are you following me? Who are you following me? I used to say something then, and that's true. Years back, I used to say the difference between we as supernatural beings is that man have forgiveness of sins, right? We are in God's image, so we can receive forgiveness of sins. But supernatural beings can never be forgiven. It's as simple as that. Yeah. It was never an example saw that. Glory to God. Because they have a responsibility, right? Remember, look at what the psalmist said. He said they have polluted the earth. He said all the earth is out of course. Listen to that. And it was man that sinned, but it was because, so that means behind sin is a supernatural element. So that means in their not staying in their position, in their office, all the earth is out of course. What are you following that? All the earth is out of course. So that means they mess things up. They mess things up. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What are you following? Okay. In Genesis chapter 4, we found Cain and Abel. Look at what God said to Cain in verse 7. Genesis 4. It's okay in verse 7. He said, if thou dost well, will thou not be accepted? And if thou dost not well, sin lieth at your door. In fact, the Hebrew word is sin crouches at your door. Now, he used the word sin like a person. Sin crouches at your door. Sin is at your door, crouching. Like so he used, now the word crouch there is using description of an animal. Right? Like a lion. Now it's used, as you say lion, but it's used in the scripture. Like how an animal would crouch to wait in there. So sin was described as a personality. Amen. Therefore, making you see again, at the background of Cain's sin is a supernatural force. Amen. Crouching. Supernatural being. The third sin, we have about four of them. The third is Genesis chapter 6. We find out how people talk less about Genesis 6.
Genesis 6. That it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, that the daughters were born unto them, and the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. Can you see that? They chose wives. Supernatural beings.
They also lead people who are married. I do. Up and down.
Supernatural beings. They began to sleep with women. In verse 4. They were giants in the earth in those days. After that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, and the same became mighty men which are of old, men of renown. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth. You see that? Amen.
Amen.
And his thought of his heart was evil continually.
That means the earth became polluted. Hope you can see it. The earth became what? Polluted. Why?
The writer, Moses writes for you to see that at the background of the wickedness of the heart of man, right, that was called sin, is a supernatural element. It's a supernatural element where the sons of God slept with the daughters of men. Hope you can see it. Okay. Another one. Genesis 11. So, and all these things can be described that they left their first estate.
Yes,
they left their first estate. Or, they left their first assignment. The assignment was to show men to God. But look at what they kept doing. Right? Leading men astray. In fact, the serpent Genesis 3 told man, you shall not surely die. For God knows day either you shall become like God. Was that what they sent you? Shall be independent of God. Is that what they sent you? No. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool, read that.
Yes,
uh-huh. Look at Genesis chapter 11. Genesis 11 was when they began to build the tower. And I told you the tower there was what?
A shrine. A worship place. So that means supernatural beings are now receiving worship of men.
You see that? In worship of men. They are now receiving the worship of men. Their role was to lead men to worship God. They began to receive that worship that was meant for God. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
So man's worship of supernatural being was actually that perversion. That perversion of that godly hunger that God kept in man. And supernatural being was to help direct man to God. Right? But what did they do? They began to receive the worship of God. Hallelujah. Hope you can see it. So in that Genesis chapter 12, chapter 11, God, and this is where I will end this series. What God now did in that Genesis chapter 11 was to now give them up to their own vile affections. How? What do you mean? Alright, Gaba. So they now had in their idol, that's confusion, in their idol worship, right? If they are coming together to serve idols, they now what they had, right? In their union to serve idols, what they had was confusion, right? That's God giving them up. God gave them up. They now have confusion. Different languages. Hallelujah. That was what happened. God gave them up. Glory to God. God gave them up. So they now had different countries. Glory to God, different nations. But actually, the nations were 70. Now had different nations. About 70 of them. Different nations with different tongues. Serving different spiritual beings. Hallelujah.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Yes,
but you know, only Israel. We're going to see that in the next series. Only Israel. All other nations were divided. Look at that, Deuteronomy 32. Again. Let me show you that again. Verse 8. It says, He says, the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance when he separated the sons of Adam and set bounds of the people according to the numbers of the children of God, right? For the Lord's portion is his people, Jacob the lot of his inheritance. Do you see that? Can you see that? So, every other nation, he does say the Lord's portion is his people, Jacob the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land, and in the waste, howling wilderness, he led him about. He sought him and kept him as the apple of his eye. You see that? Hallelujah. Said the eagle set up his nest, spreading over his young, spreading abroad her wings. Taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord did lead him, and there was no strange gods with him. Hallelujah. That's Genesis 1:2. He made him to ride in the high place of the earth. Did you see what he did to
Jacob, to Israel? Right? This is what he did to Israel.
Family nations were under supernatural beings, right? But not Israel. But take note, Israel was not available then. That's why Israel can't be under supernatural beings. You know, you say God was being partial, right? Why did God divide all that and not divide Israel? But Israel was not born. So what did God do in Genesis 12? God now called Abraham from idolatry. Did you see that? He doesn't give Abraham a choice, like every other one will have a choice. Hallelujah. Genesis 12.
Let's go.
Can you see that?
Yes, sir.
So that is why Israel, in fact, when Abraham came out, before Israel got to Canaan, Israel was not a nation. It was not a nation. Okay, yeah, really. Not a nation means it was not a known nation in the world. That was why they were moving from land to land. They dealt with Jericho. They were moving forward. They were not a nation. They were never a nation before they got into Israel. Before they got into Egypt. They grew to that number in Egypt. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, follow me. So what was supposed to be their role? Their role was to conquer every other nation. Right? Clash of gods, like I said. And then, who will be worshipped? Yahweh will be worshipped. So that's how God was going to take back those lands.
We're going to see that in the next week.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Hope you are following me.
Yes, sir.
Glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So now see what is the implication of that today in our world.
Glory to God. Are they supernatural beings in locations? Yes. When you see people with sin, when you see people doing drugs, doing this, right? That's a perversion of a godly desire. And at the back of it, at the back of unbelief, is the devil. And what is God's plan? Will take them over.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, follow me.
Will take over.
You will be the Lord.
You know, let me share something with you that I think the Lord is going to do through us during GPLR. God is, we're going to take, and that's why we're going to run on this teaching before GPLR. Right? GPLR, we're going to be praying for regions, for territories. We're going to be constantly praying for territories. Hallelujah. It's going to be warfare. GPLR will be warfare. Yeah, we'll pray for people, we'll pray, but we'll pray for regions. We'll pray for regions not when we are tired, when we are active. We'll pray it out. Hallelujah. We'll be calling the regions. We'll be calling the places. And the Spirit of the Lord will lay in our hearts. And we're taking them for Jesus. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. And we'll pray together. Not just restricted to where our churches are. We're calling the regions by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
And they are taking over for Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We'll see that. Because Israel will have a role to displace supernatural beings. Have a role.
I have a role to be in Christ.
Hallelujah.
Okay,
follow me.
Yes,
glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So you will now see all the things I've been teaching you on believers' authority. We will wrap up inside this teaching. But remember, we'll come back again to look at some other things. Amen. Come back again after today. Come and look at some other things.
Glory, glory, glory.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Okay. So, you know, so God will now call for Abraham. He called him in Genesis chapter 12 from a land of idols, from Haran, idol worship. He called him. And Abraham gave them God's voice. And he came out. Glory to God. He came out. He came out. To do what? Came out to do what? To worship God. And then Abraham, God will now say to Abraham, to thy seed will I give this land.
You see that?
To thee and to thy seed. Which land? A land that is filled with idol worship. I will give it to you.
Did you see that? Is that displacing supernatural being that it is?
I mean, that is it. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So I close like this. I close like this.
God is above all supernatural things.
He alone is to be worshipped. And supernatural beings are to minister for man. Are to minister for man. And we are created men. We are created like this for his purpose. The service, the worship of idol is not just an identity crisis for man. It is a sense of inferiority for man. It is a sense of inferiority, identity crisis. Man was created to be in God's image. To be in God's likeness. And not to serve the devil. Not to serve supernatural beings. That worship of supernatural beings is a perverted desire. Perverted hunger for God. Hallelujah. And we have a responsibility to it. Have a responsibility in our world to ensure that we take men away from such perverted desires and show them the right desire, the right thing, which is gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Praise
the Lord. So we see from the next section, which is the next series, how God will deal with these supernatural beings. You see how God deals with these supernatural beings. Okay. We'll see how God deals with supernatural beings, right? And we'll go further to look at how the nations, we're just going to look at the case, how nations were divided onto supernatural beings and how God intends to take it back from scriptures. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Learn something?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Let me entertain questions, like two or three before we go, like we did the other day. Do you have questions?
Okay.
I always ask some questions. Okay, let's hear you.
My question is, man was worshipping other gods or supernatural beings because of the cravings, as you explained. So God called Adam out of idol worship.
Not Adam, Abraham.
Abraham, sorry. God called Abraham out of idol worship. My question is, should have, I don't know if this question sounds out.
Go ahead and ask.
Why didn't God call every other man to, along with Abraham, out of idol worship?
You're not listening to what I was saying. You're listening to what I was saying. Very good. Yeah. And I mentioned the fact that God calling Abraham out of idol worship was because Abraham also yielded. Abraham too could have rejected. Right?
Yes, sir.
So God's call of Abraham out of idol worship right? Was because Abraham listened. Because I've shown you from the beginning, if you listen again, that God will give man what?
Choice.
Today, you see some people too, when you try to preach to them about Christ, they'll tell you, I'm born a Muslim. I don't want, I'm born a Muslim. Have you not met people like that?
Yes, sir.
Muslim is the only religion. Hey, hey. So did they yield to God's voice through you? So don't have such kind of conclusions. Okay.
They are covering the mouth.
Okay.
Okay, so I want to ask about the choices actually.
Mm.
You know, God gave every man choices.
Yeah.
And I believe that I don't think everyone knows how to make a decision or to make the right choice.
Everybody knows how to. Everybody knows. When you preach the gospel to anyone, the person is making a choice. The person accepts the gospel is making a choice. It's only a child that is less than one. That's a 4 or 5 years and might not know how to make a choice. That's maybe 4, 5, 6 years. But every child, once you go above, you can make choices. Choices means I choose this or I don't choose it. I want this or I don't want. That's choice.
Okay, sir. You know, sometimes most of them making that choice, they blinded in making some choices.
Shall you make a choice? And you face the repercussion for your choice. Okay, with me. It's a choice. Now when it comes to making choices with God, when it comes to making choices, you don't make a choice once for your lifetime. Come listen to our message on eternity. Eternity. Well, that's it. I thought it was years back. You're not born again, so it doesn't mean you're not yet to go to tomorrow and born again. Do you get me? So you keep choices are what you keep making all through your lifetime. You keep making choices. That's why it would be wrong for you to say Adam rejected God's word and Adam is in hell. It's not true. Because Adam was called God's prophet. Do you understand? So choices, but Moses just singled out that one as an archetype for you to see. You cannot say because of that one in Genesis 3 he's gone to hell. No. Don't be away. Yes, but you see that as an archetype. Or I'll say, no, how what Moses was using Adam to show. So that you don't generalize it. Okay, okay. Uh-huh. So any other question?
So it's I would want to I don't know maybe that time, maybe I was
if you don't have something that I've said that you don't
understand, know if you
get
said
the message.
I don't know if you actually said it.
Oh yeah, say
if there is a point where because if there is a point where God, because you said Abraham yielded. So I am trying to
look understand. Abraham yielded, eh?
Abraham yielded to God's word.
Uh-huh.
You know you said God left them to their
I didn't say the Bible says
says God left them to their to their will. Because of the decision they made, both the supernatural beings and man. So now, when we're studying the Bible in Genesis, I didn't see that at that point where God actually, you know, like the way he called Abraham now, the way Abraham yielded. I don't know how to put this question. Was there a way that God, you know, spoke his word at that point when God, when Abraham yielded, that others did not yield and only Abraham yielded?
Go and listen to series 1. Listen to 2 series. Listen to the teaching on revelation of God. All the teaching of revelation of God. Then pick up all the teaching of revelation of God. All of it. Then you pick up this series 1 and this series 2A and series 2B and listen to them. You understand it. When you are done with this thing I just told you to listen to, listen to it very well. Pay attention to it very well. You won't ask this question. Okay. I remember I said I am taking assumptions of a whole lot of things when I'm teaching. You must be. You cannot be in church and you're not listening to messages all the time. Right? Any other person? Sammy Jeff? Lenji?
No question, sir.
Okay. Let's pray.
No question, sir.
Let's pray.
Beyond the fire.